Welcome to Health Talk, brought to you by White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. My guest right now is Dr. Jason Holdyke, and he is an internal medicine physician here at White Plains Hospital's Larchmont office, which happens to be my hometown. Maybe I'll come on in and see you there. We're going to talk today about another timely topic. We were speaking before with a doctor about the whole nightmare of vaping for teens right now, and how it's just absolutely, you know, I think it caught people off storm that people are doing that. But on the other spectrum of what we consider to be, you know, taking in substances to make us feel better, that maybe you smoke or take in a vaping pen or something, there is also medical marijuana, which happens to be legal now for the most part and an accepted medical therapy in the state of New York, at least. So what is your background, Dr. Holdyke, and your experience with medical marijuana as a physician?
Sure. So thanks for having me, first of all.
Yes.
My background, basically, I started at White Plains Hospital as a hospitalist. So I worked seeing patients within the hospital who were sick enough to be admitted to the hospital. And just about a couple months ago, I transitioned to the outpatient setting, doing internal medicine, primary care, like you said, in Larchmont. And for me, you know, a topic like medical marijuana, something that's such a hot topic these days, you know, I feel like it's truly my responsibility as a primary care doctor to be well informed about all these topics, because, you know, I'm the primary point person for most people's healthcare questions. And so I need to be able to provide really informed and evidence-based recommendations for these people.
Sure.
And I do have my medical marijuana license. I have prescribed it before, mm-hmm. you know, in the right patient. For anyone who wants to get a license, obviously you have to be a healthcare provider, which is a physician or a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant working under the supervision of a physician. And you have to take coursework that's been approved by the New York State Department of Health, pass a series of exams. And so that's really, you know, the process of getting a medical marijuana license.
Yes.
In the state of New York.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay. Well, people often think of, you know, marijuana as mostly with the THC. So you're not handling the CBD side. You're handling THC as a pain reliever. Is that mostly what it is used for? Or tell us what some of the reasons why someone would be prescribed it, and how, what form do they take it in?
Sure. Well, in New York State, they do have some strict regulations on what specific conditions we can prescribe it for. Now, probably the best evidence we have right now is for things such as chronic pain, namely nerve types of pain, also in people with multiple sclerosis or severe muscle spasms. That's really what we have the most convincing evidence for. But, you know, we do have evidence that it may provide a fair amount of benefit in a bunch of different conditions. And so in New York State, there are 14, I believe, approved conditions you can prescribe it for. Those being just some examples of those would be cancer patients, people with HIV/AIDS, people with ALS, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, like I mentioned, people with various different neuropathies or nerve pain issues, inflammatory bowel disease, epilepsy are just a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you have to have one of those conditions, but you also have to have a subsequent symptom or condition that is a complication of one of the things I mentioned.
Okay.
So that includes things like cachexia, which is like a severe muscle wasting syndrome, severe chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, things like that. You have to fall into both of those categories in order to be even considered for medical marijuana.
And how is it that you recommend people take it? Because in talking about vaping before, anything that's going into your lungs isn't necessarily the best thing for you. So how do you administer it?
Right. Well, the approved forms in New York State are, there are a variety of different formulations it comes in, things like capsules, tablets, lozenges, oil preparations. Vaporization is allowed in New York State, but smoking it is not an approved method of administration in New York State.
I understand. Very interesting. Well, I've also heard that our bodies sort of naturally produce chemicals that are similar to the ingredients that are found in cannabis, which is the plant that marijuana comes from. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Is that true?
Sure. Yeah. And this is very interesting. I think at first it's important just to have an understanding of what all the different terminology is. You know, you hear the term cannabis and marijuana and CBD, THC. What are all those things? So basically we'll start with cannabis. It's just a family of a few different types of plants, marijuana being one of those plants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Marijuana has hundreds of different chemicals in it, but the two most prevalent and the ones we've studied the most are THC, mm-hmm. which is what causes the high that we often associate with marijuana, and the next being CBD, which is very similar and does work in somewhat similar ways to THC, but it has different mechanisms within the body, and it does not cause a high.
Right.
And interestingly, our body does have its own system. Our body naturally creates chemicals which are structurally very similar to THC and CBD, and we call these endocannabinoids. And this system, it plays a role in multiple different parts of the body, namely the nervous system, but also it's found in immune cells, in muscle, in the liver, even in the heart. And it plays a critical role in a number of different processes, appetite, digestion, mood, inflammation, like I said, the immune system, even how our body monitors potential cancer cells or cancer growth. Mm-hmm. So, having that understanding, you can see how theoretically there could be a lot of potential uses for
yes.
CBD or THC products. But as we know, medicine theory doesn't always necessarily match with actuality, and we don't have all the data we really need right now to back up a lot of these claims, but we've certainly seen some very promising results or studies so far.
So Dr. Holdyke, speaking of CBDs, I touched on that just a moment ago. How does medical marijuana differ from the cannabidiols or CBD products that we're seeing more and more of? And some entire stores are being devoted just to CBD products. What's the difference?
Right. Well, the difference between these CBD products and the reason they're able to be sold over the counter at various pharmacies is that it's illegal for them to have a certain amount of THC. They have either no or only very trace amounts of THC, so that they don't cause the high or the psychoactive effects that marijuana can cause. The warning I always tell people about these products is with any supplement or vitamin that you can get over the counter at your local drugstore, these things are not FDA regulated. And there have even been case reports of some of these CBD products having to be, have the manufacturers having to be warned about illegally high levels of THC or lower than advertised levels of CBD in these products. And so it's always important to really do your research on the manufacturer and make sure they have good practices and they're validated before purchasing these products.
I've interviewed someone who has a store devoted to CBD products, and she said she will not carry a product in her store unless she has read the lab reports. She said those are very important, the lab reports, and then what you mentioned as well. You really have to do your research to know what the different levels are, and because they come in for CBD, it comes in different, is it milligrams or something like that, or how?
Yes, it comes in variety of in different milligrams, and also different formulations, oils and topicals and capsules and tablets. And similar to medical marijuana, they do have side effects. So far, we haven't really seen any really severe side effects, but it can cause things like fatigue, nausea, diarrhea, irritability. So these are things for people to look out for. And interestingly, CBD can cause you to test positive on a drug screen.
Oh, my goodness.
So just be aware for people who get regular drug testing done at work. That would be difficult to explain to your employer, I'm sure, if you tested positive
I didn't realize. I hear they're putting on cream thinking they're helping their arthritis. And then, you know, you're right. That is something really important. I was wondering, is there any curative property to marijuana, or like reparative? Like, does it actually fix something, or does it just sort of like knock out the pain for that time, or alleviate symptoms because of the euphoria that's attached to it or whatever? Well, can it actually help you like get over something forever for good? Does it help cure cancer, for example?
We still have a lot to learn about it. You know, particularly the CBD products, you know, they're so new that we still are learning how it works in the body in general. Mm-hmm. We do know, based on our, you know, what we know about this endocannabinoid system, that it does affect immune cells. It affects the immune system. So, you know, you can see there's definitely
Or you don't know yet.
Right. Well, I mean, it affects how immune cells function or how they work.
Yes.
You know, in terms of that, I don't know that, you know, we have any more details than that now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it certainly has proven to be very helpful in a number of different symptoms and conditions. And, you know, we know that for sure.
It's a major frontier. And from a business standpoint, I'm a friend of mine who owns a CBD cream company or whatever. I remember her telling me 5 years ago, you're going to hear about this stuff and it's going to be as big as the dot-com boom. And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. And now I look at it and I'm thinking that's true. And I'm thinking medical marijuana may go in the same direction as that, this explosion of opportunities for use and for bringing it more mainstream than it is. I, you know, somebody from an older generation just may not understand it so much, and yet you're seeing how are the effects that you're seeing on your patients? Have you seen good results from the use of medical marijuana when prescribed in a you know, the way that you need to do it as a doctor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so far I've seen, you know, fairly good results. I'm new in the outpatient setting right now, so, you know, time will tell. You know, I think that's the thing with these products right now, is we have a lot of case reports or preliminary data showing they may work, but in terms of the long-term efficacy, long-term side effects, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. And so when somebody does, if it's prescribed, or do you give it, are you the one who administers it, or do people go to a pharmacy and buy it? How is it obtained, medical marijuana?
So you cannot walk into your normal CVS or Walgreens and pick up medical marijuana. Basically, the process is, obviously, first you'd come in to see myself or someone who's been certified to provide a prescription or a certification for it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that certification, there are dedicated dispensaries that manufacture and distribute the products. And there is actually one in White Plains about 5 blocks from where we're sitting right now.
Okay.
And you'd make an appointment or, you know, walk into one of these dispensaries. Typically, you'd meet with, they have their own pharmacists, their own physicians on staff who can provide, you know, more recommendations on exactly what type of product would be best suited for your illness or your symptoms.
Right. Very, very interesting. With all the states that are considering legalization, what, in your opinion, should legislatures be considering from the health aspect?
It's a tough question. I don't usually get into the whole politics behind it, but just speaking from, you know, from a pure medicine perspective, you know, I think people need to remember that marijuana, it is still a drug. You know, it has addictive potential. It has side effects. It has very serious side effects. There are certain patients, even if they meet the criteria that I mentioned previously, I would not want to give marijuana to. A few examples would be people with coronary artery disease. Marijuana has been shown to cause heart attack in those patients.
Mm-hmm.
People who have mental illness or family history of mental illness, mainly schizophrenia is what we've studied the most. Marijuana can cause psychotic episodes, induce psychotic episodes in those patients. People who are pregnant, trying to get pregnant, marijuana can get into the baby's bloodstream. It's been shown to cause premature birth or low birth weight. And also it interacts with the metabolism of a lot of other medications. One example being Coumadin. It can increase Coumadin, which is a blood thinner, increase mm-hmm. those levels in your body. So mm-hmm. a lot of factors are at play here. Mm-hmm. And so whether marijuana becomes fully legalized or not, I would advise anyone, before you even consider using it, just talk to your doctor. Uh-huh. You know, have a conversation about whether it's really a good idea for you or not.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much. Speaking today with Dr. Jason Holdyke, who is an internal medicine physician in White Plains Hospital's Larchmont office. Thank you so much. Great topic and super timely. And thank you so much for being with us today and sharing all your knowledge on it. I really appreciate it. From the White Plains Hospital today, of course, this is Health Talk. And I'm Laura Smith.